life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Well, hello everyone, this is Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual information show designed to stretch your mind and help you think outside of the box. And on today's show, as usual, my husband Mick will be deep trance channeling, and today we will be taking listeners' questions. I have a great big long list here. Thank you for your contributions, everybody. And you can still send them in if you like to enq@spirit-teaching.com. And or you can phone in and join us live on air. The number is a free phone in the USA. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. International calls aren't free, but it's only a quick call, and that is 001-530-876-3222. The information that the spirit world are going to bring to us isn't personal information. It's not a personal reading style show. But if you would like a reading from us, then you can find out more about that. We do Akashic readings on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. This show is all about information and searching for answers that hopefully the other side of life can help us with, that we wouldn't have access to. So
yeah, hi, I'm Mick Avery, at least I was last time I looked. You can join us on and welcome anyway everyone to bbsradio.com, here live every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, which is 6 p.m. GMT, and that's 1 p.m. EST. Do send email questions and everything else that Sylvia has just said. And if you'd like to know more about our books, our CDs, or anything else about the information that we have, or indeed book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, www.spiritsworkradio.com, and also live at www.mcavery.com. That's for Europe. Oh, things are going a bit weird here. Before we go any further, I'd just like to say that when we go to do all of these shows, I never know what Sylvie is going to ask Gregory. In case anyone thinks that it's all a put-up job or whatever, I haven't got a clue what information Sylvie has brought together in her research or any of the understanding that she has brought about with interaction with any of you who write in or any of that kind of stuff, because you know, some people might think, oh, it's all just sort of planned out and everything, and nothing from my point of view is planned at all, and all I have to do is just kind of go to sleep and let go.
You don't even know what you're getting for dinner.
Don't even know what I'm getting for dinner. No. So, you know, kind of my world is a bit like a mollusk, really. And so I don't really know about anything else very much about what happens during the show or any other stuff. Anyway, so welcome everyone. I am a deep trance medium, which means live on the show I go into the deep trance state. And Gregory Hay, who is the spirit guide who works with us from the White Cloud Group, he actually had an Earth Life 300 years ago. He comes and answers your email questions or whatever other interactivity he and the team have to bring about. He's actually the spokesperson of the team, which means that that's all very good, really, because I'm like dead to the world, so... So that's what I'm going to do now.
I think that's a good idea.
Go off and die, yes.
Well, not quite.
No. But anyway, it's sort of like having an out-of-body experience, really.
Yes.
So anyway, okay. Thanks, then. Bye.
Okay. Yes, Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group, and they consist of many great minds as well as ordinary people, and between them have access to vast knowledge and insights. They've come to bring their teachings because there is a need for us to have understanding beyond the constraint of our human mind. And the subject matter that we cover in this way is absolutely, well, is limitless, because the different members of the group, like I say, they are scholars and experts. And basically, if Gregory doesn't know the answer, somebody else will. So he is being fed answers all of the time. That's how it works. We need to be able to answer all sorts of questions and information for us to get a different perspective on our thoughts and views, and maybe, sort of rearrange our thinking to be more, shall we say, pushing the envelope, like I say, thinking outside of the box and being a little bit more sort of aware of the eternal aspect of our life and what we're doing here and the consequences of our life here, basically. We're not a religious-based group, although obviously everybody's welcome to join us, and we don't have any views either way. But basically it's truthful information and knowledge that we bring that hopefully will enhance your lives and the lives of others. So anyway, like I say, yes, we do do Akashic readings. If you want a reading, a personal reading with Gregory at some time, do get in touch. There's an Akashic readings page on our website, and I would get back to you if you would like to know more information about that. Each week, we usually do listeners' questions. Some weeks we might do a whole show on one topic. And if you would like us to do a whole show on a topic that interests you, then you can send us that suggestion and the questions that you had in mind. Basically, you know, it's conversation, stimulates conversation and new thought. And it won't just be the questions that you ask, because Gregory always has a lot to say and brings new things that we couldn't possibly even think of. And that's the whole idea. That's why we do it. Exactly that. So I do believe Gregory's with us now.
Hello, dear friends. With love and light, blessings as ever. Yes.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello.
Is there anything that you would like to talk about before we start in particular?
No, that is quite all right, if you would like to just launch into whatever you would wish to do.
Okay, I'm going to start with this question from Sophia in the UK.
Ah, yes.
She's sent in quite a few questions before, hasn't she? Bless her. I mean, it's great. It's really great. And
a good lively mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And we thank you for that. Yes, I've got a question for Gregory about bacteria.
Yes.
He's mentioned bacteria before, and that it has helped clean up the oil spill. And he's also talked about alternative sources of energy to oil. I've been looking into different microbial fuel cells which produce some electricity from wastewater, maybe enough to run the wastewater treatment plant. And it struck me how versatile and useful bacteria really are. So could Gregory talk about the role of bacteria, what it can have on the planet? They seem vital in keeping many systems ticking.
Yes, absolutely so. Don't forget that they are the, in a sense, they're the little cleanup enzymes and creatures, in a sense, who really need, in a sense, that is their lot, that is their pigeonhole in the whole sanctuary of life. And the way in which the different environments are created through the deterioration and the gradual breaking down of physical matter, and how those different bacterias actually work in synergy, if you like, to produce, after all, some kind of food for themselves. Bacteria are only really engaging in eating materials that are digestible to them. So it means to say that can be in very many different ways. The ways in which some bacteria react to others, some will perhaps use a chemical sequence which they exude from their bodies upon the physical matter itself in order for them to digest it in exactly the same way that some other creatures do, like flies and certain insects, which will actually coat perhaps the material in their own digestive juices, and then it actually begins to digest before they then bring it back into their physical bodies. So that's, in a sense, a part of the knock-on effect of that can often be that these different systems of minute proportions create various gases, simply because that's a part of physical matter, isn't it? And when you are looking and observing at any kind of physical matter being and its status in within the physical hierarchy of life, and maybe depending upon its place within that whole situation, its little life cycle within the whole evolutionary stage of life surrounding it, it will be not necessarily that it will be aware or understanding about what exactly its role is within the whole totality of it. You must understand that, that it doesn't mean to say that it creates intelligence or it creates an abundance of conscious effort or thought, or even in fact for many forms of bacteria, that they are not necessarily of specific type of do not have awareness of one and one, therefore are not of specific soul group energy. So that means to say that oftentimes bacteria are really of the planetary energy, of the microcosmic situation that happens when planets begin to evolve and create through the electrical and also chemical situations which create life or provide an environment for life to exist. So therefore, it in effect means that the whole biology of the situation is that then, for example, within the condition, as I say, of bacteria, does not mean to say that they are aware of the gases that they are produced. A cow isn't aware of the gases that it produces. You see, even in respect of the methane, that doesn't come out of its bottom but comes out of its mouth, because that's how cows produce methane. So that means to say that in actual fact, if you are looking at the bacteria, but not just that, you mustn't just stop at one place. You must also look at perhaps different kinds of algae. That too can create a very combustible kind of energy, which in fact would be suitable to turn into liquid fuel for motor vehicles to be powered by, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that brings into a whole other realm of situation to do with the algae blooms that can emit large amounts of, much larger amounts of gas, or perhaps to do with the liquid that they create simply by their biology of interaction with various different kinds of foodstuffs, really means to say that they can create a very volatile chemical mixtures, which can then be actually much more in respect of their ignition properties than petrol, for example, or than any other kind of fuel, like oil-fired power stations, for example. So it means to say that you could actually, creating the right respect and the right placement of these different kinds of biological biomass transfers, that you can then create the right kind of chemicals and different substances by which you can power all of the different bits of machinery that you have. You don't actually need to drag up oil and then create all of the problems of fossil fuel burning that then ensues from it. So in a sense, it can become that you as a planetary being can depend upon something which is, in fact, microcosmically small in respect of yourselves and actually can produce it maybe inadvertently or actually in respect of its well-being will produce various different kinds of combustible ignited liquids which can then be used as fuel.
Wow, yes, well, there's a thought. I mean, obviously, well, wouldn't it be great if we could still utilise the factories and the different, shall we say, agricultural, industry that we've got already.
Yes.
In order to just move from one to the other. Absolutely.
Yes. But that's my point, that you can.
Yeah.
It's not that much different.
Right.
So, in actual fact, there is no situation where, for example, you need to race ahead and build more and more and more nuclear power stations and all of that. That's bogus anyway. That's really just, in a sense, because human beings can't be bothered to really look at the environment and really understand the environment to all of the different kinds of thermal dynamics that can be created simply by the biomass and different bacteria and different small little individuals that can actually help to create a totally different kind of climate reasoning and power source to enable free energy to really exist.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing that's the thing, though, isn't it? It's like, well, I've started, so I'm going to carry on with it.
Yes, yes, it's that's right.
Really, just laziness, isn't it?
Well, absolutely,
and dogged, yes, arrogance.
Yes, that's right. Quite so, little bird. And the point is that with all nuclear fuels, you have thousands upon thousands of years of its degeneration, and also at all of that time, the whole situation of it, of its possibility to contaminate water, aquifers, and everything else to do with the planet's surface, and therefore all of animal and therefore human well-being is just untenable. It's why would you want to poison one another for over such a long period of time and actually think nothing of it and think that it's quite all right to do that? So this is a very positive situation that we see in the development in biomass fuels and various different other collections of gases which you have and which we have talked about oftentimes before, particularly, of course, to do with methane and the gathering of methane from certain other different kinds of combustible situations, such as in the work of extracting gases from the kinds of tipping scenarios of waste food, waste products, and all of that.
Well, I wondered, could people make their own biomass fuels on a smaller scale?
Well, absolutely, but that's my point, really. But it would actually be much, much better to follow and look upon the German situation. I understand that they're quite well advanced in this stage of creating biomass fuel cells for energy. And that is a very ongoing and very bright situation. I see that could work actually very, very well for small towns and villages and that kind of situation where you would simply have just a small biomass unit that all the people living there would take all of their combustible material to. Simple, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So therefore, no waste.
No.
Anywhere.
Obviously, the problem is actually having the cars, etc., the vehicles, whatever, transport that actually runs on this, so that then, you know, you don't have to only be at home to fuel your vehicle up or whatever.
Yes, yes.
Do you know
yes.
what I mean? I mean,
yes,
it has
yes,
to be,
quite so.
They have to be made, and also it has to be a nationwide thing, obviously.
Yes, but biomass fuels are really for many different interpretations.
Yeah,
you may use some for for motoring, for getting from one place to another place, but also, of course, for electricity, for the generation of electricity. Mm. And many other different conditions too, I have to say. Mm. Yes.
Absolutely. Okay, well, that's great. So, the other thing that Zofia said, and actually I think you've answered it really in that part,
yes.
But she says, how would Gregory describe their spiritual aspect?
Well, as
bacteria,
I say,
this is.
Yes, yes. As I say, really and truly, bacteria come from a conglomerate group, which is really to do with the spirit of the planet. So it's because they have not attuned to understanding one-on-one, that is, they don't make conscious effort to do something, they are just drawn to it because they want to eat. And they're not aware of gases that they put out, they are just, in a sense, just like amoeba, that they have the concentration of food that they want to create or whatever. And that's exactly the same as when you are looking at cancers or anything else. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that they're destroying this living being or that living being, whether it's a dog, cat, mouse, or human being. They don't understand that. So it's not personal. It's a situation where they just happen to live in certain conditions and certain other environmental conditions as well as personable conditions of consciousness, harmony, and that kind of thing, then can have exacerbating effects of creating further of their number or further mutations. You must remember that all of these different situations happen usually because of weakness or mutation of one form or another that has then left that being susceptible for whatever reason at whatever time of its life.
Mm. Yeah, so the idea was good, but obviously sometimes it backfires then, really.
Yes,
it?
That's right. That's right. But that is having a human physical life,
yeah,
or having an animal physical life.
Mm.
That is the nature of the situation and substance. After all, my dear friends, if you were all perfect, then you would go on living forever as a physical human being or as a physical being, whatever that was. But it's not.
Mm.
The physical containment is only so far, can only last so long. That's nothing to do with God, nothing to do with any other energy at all at work. Nothing to do with the spirit world making a haphazard design or something that is essentially flawed. Of course, the mutation system and condition of evolution in its practice is simply that it mutates to the farthest point that it is enabled to do so. And sometimes that will interact with the changing and mutation of cells, which then produces a kind of canker. Yes.
Yeah.
And so in that kind of microbiology, the beings, the cells themselves that change, don't know they've changed. Yes. Into what? And for whom? For what? You see?
Okay. So what about a bacteria that eats cancer?
Indeed so. Oh, food. Yum.
Hmm.
It doesn't even know that it is supposed to do that. It's not intelligent in its desire to do that.
But could there be a bacteria that actually eats the bacteria that eats the cancer?
The cancer cell
itself.
If
you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm not
as long as you can train it or teach it or that there is some other way of it, excuse me, of it only being able to feast on those cells and none other.
Yeah. Yeah, because
what's it going to do then with its life? Suddenly curl up and die at your command? Mm. Or would it mean that you would just unleash those cells for the time in which it can gobble up all of the cancer cells and then you exterminate it using something else, some other kind of chemical?
Mm. But if you can simulate bacterial communities,
yes,
then, you know, I mean, well, I don't know. I don't know how that would work. Surely that you could do that.
Yes, for example, with the nematode worm, create abundance of, perhaps to try to exterminate some kind of insect or some kind of situation like that, the worm only exists for as long as there are creatures for it to eat.
Mm.
And then it simply dies out.
Mm.
Yes?
Yeah.
So, and in exactly the same way that you would, and I see that is a possibility, a potent possibility of using that kind of infrastructure to then be able to perhaps combat various different diseases. I don't rule it out.
Mm.
And I'm not saying that there is particular harm in it, because it's not really playing at being a godlike being in a sense.
Mm.
You are using different kinds of knowledge and understanding of those knowledge pathways to perhaps enliven the lives of beings that exist anyway. And then perhaps just saying to them, here, look, would you like this kind of food? You see? What's the difference? So human beings, unfortunately, put too much emotional store into the variances of one kind of being or another, and then say, oh, well, we shouldn't do this, or that for the purposes of this condition, it would be wrong to do this. It isn't. I don't see the problem.
Or we abuse our bodies with the foods we eat, the chemicals and the different things that we do, and then...
And then wonder why.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right, absolutely.
Yeah, and then we get a problem with our physical health.
But not forgetting, of course, though, little bird, that oftentimes many of these chemical situations, adaptations or mutations that happen within the physical body are purely and simply because of the ongoing environmental catastrophes and certain situations which unwittingly some human beings, or not, may have been influenced in. So, for example, you have children being born with only one limb and that kind of situation because of various kinds of gases that may have escaped from some accident, like, for example, in the Chernobyl situation in Russia.
Yeah, sure.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a whole new topic, isn't it? We could talk about that for ages with the different things that we come into contact with.
Well, yes, you know, absolutely so. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Or the nature of different kinds of infrared or different kinds of radio wave technology and the effects of its creation upon human habitation. In fact, as well, yes.
Hmm.
So, because all of these different situations that are unleashed by the unquestioning mind of human state actually can create anomalies in the physical life that they are presently unaware of. You see? So it's a bit like creating something and thinking, oh, that's very bright of me, I'll continue to market this and make it worldwide, exponentially accessible and everything else. And then before you know it, 20 years later, you're actually stuck with a situation whereupon a great many mutations have happened because this energy has been released into the world upon which you live. So my advice really to human beings is to extend further, not guesswork, but actual trial, understand what really happens when you unleash this certain event upon the world.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, well, thanks for that. And thank you for your field question, Sophia.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I have another question. Actually, it's a little list of different
A little list.
From Rebecca from Suffolk in the UK.
Yes, yes. Hello, Rebecca.
And it's to do with fate and destiny. The first question is, how much of our lives are fated?
That's like saying everything is, or one thing or another thing, is pre-written or scripturalized by some other power, being, or entity.
Well, there's a few ways of looking at it, really, isn't there?
Yes. Well, to begin with, the situation, the condition of fate, in a sense, is very much humanized. is not something, for example, if you asked a rat what its fate was, it wouldn't be able to tell you. Because it doesn't know what the word means, and it doesn't know, in any event, what will be the eventual outcome. Unlike, I have to say, the situation of elephants, whereby they know the eventual outcome and are well prepared for it.
Okay.
And so that's part of the condition that elephants have a synergy with their fate, if you like, on a physical level, not on a conscious level, but on a physical level. So it means that they are well aware of the place where they have to go to in order to pass to our side of life. Mm. If you are looking at fate in respect of human beings and its content of it, there is no grand situation which says this is your fate, and that in 62 years and 10 days and 3 hours you will die in this manner. Because it's not written. You haven't gone through it. You haven't created the pathways, many of which are down to and the description of other people's interjection with you, and resulting conflict, the resulting questions and answers that are revealed to you that make you have certain decisions and judgment making in your profile, if you like, as you move through your life. So that means to say you sequence upon one journey after another, different kinds of events and situations that happen to you that then make you answer or ask different questions in order to find other facets of your life, perhaps usually in the journey of happiness or in the pursuit of happiness, not necessarily in the acquiring of it.
Well, I mean, I suppose, obviously, certain people's lives are, well, should we say, fated in the way of where maybe where they were born and brought up or being brought up.
To a certain extent.
To a certain extent. But that's not fated from any grand plan.
Scenario.
Yeah,
no.
Karmic wheel or anything like that. It's
no.
Just literally unfortunate because they're fated because of the consequences and the likelihood of what is going on around them.
Yes, yes. Particularly, of course, if born when there is some kind of mass conflict or mass disease or some other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is occurring in the environment at that time.
Yeah, but as far as fate, as in, like, shall we say, a curse, you know, I'm fated, I'm cursed, or
yes.
Whatever, that is not the case.
No, no, indeed not.
No, so... Okay.
Some people may have a kind of a certain part of their pathway or journey, or maybe even for a very few limited beings, they may have a certain specific kind of situation that they fulfill, usually because of their gifts of spirit, in order enable them to fulfill it.
Mm. I mean, some people do have continued bad luck, and
that is true.
So you can understand people thinking that, you know, they're
well, I'm fated to have no life or something.
Yeah, that everything goes wrong or whatever.
Yes, I understand.
And so, I mean, is this the same for everyone?
Well, as I say, for most people, they are not fated apart from that at some point they are going to pass back to our side of life. That's the same for everyone. So in a sense, you could say that everyone is fated in that respect. But that is the only respect.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, okay. How do we recognize fate for ourselves, she says?
Well, indeed so.
It's like it's a thing, though. So you're saying it's not a thing.
That's right. I'm saying it is not a thing. An instrument.
Yeah.
A fate is what you desire upon how the reaction to your desire is meted out. So that depends upon your description of how you relate to your desire and how it has been meted out. If the desire isn't met that you hold deep within your heart, for example, you feel that you become fated as to inability to see through your desire to its end epitome, if you like. So that means to say that, in as luck would have it, or not, that you are able to transmit, to create the attitude or the picture that's in your head, in your mind, into some kind of realistic dream that bursts into life and actually performs for you in the physical life. Otherwise, you would say that fate has dealt a blow to you and that it's not the picture that you dreamt of at all.
Mm.
Is it not? So there are many different conditions, really, I feel, whereby human beings, unfortunately, put way too much emphasis upon their fate or what they signify their fate to be. Therefore, it means it stops them looking. And it means that for oftentimes what will happen is human beings who are fatalized in their journey, and that means closed-minded, means that they can't actually see what their journey really is. So once again, it's a bit like someone being deluded, in a sense, by their own quagmire of their own stickiness in attitude and ability to adapt to new environments and situations.
Well, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy then, isn't it?
That's right, because they willed themselves to be it or to do it. And usually it's a negative situation, not necessarily a positive one. If it's a positive one and they're glued to it, all well and good, I suppose.
Yes, but usually people don't tend to get into this subject unless it's usually something of a negative, I think.
Yes, that's quite true. Yes.
You know, when you're riding the wave of success and
positivity.
Exactly. Then, yes. You know, it's just, you don't call it fate, do you?
No, that's quite true.
So it's to do with, really, isn't it, the law of attraction as well?
Yes, absolutely. And fate, by being run over by a bus or large vehicle of some kind, is
an accident.
Is, well, or your carelessness, yes, or the carelessness of the person who was driving it.
Mm. Okay. All right, then. So she says, how do we recognize and follow our destiny in that case?
Well, recognition of one's destiny is the difficulty. Oftentimes, many people look to different kinds of placebos, different kinds of events and situations which they are becoming attracted to enable them to understand perhaps some shreds or threads of their destiny or potency of that ability. So we're talking here really about gifts of spirit or not, or the lack of. And if a human being themselves doesn't regard that they are spirit, all right, then, so we're talking about their charms, their abilities, their inner abilities, interest and gravitation toward one subject matter or another, or field or event or activity or action. That means to say that all of these situations and conditions, varying as they do in physical life, because that's what you are, physical being having a physical life, means to say that you are gravitated towards certain situations and events, depending on whether you want to be a mathematician, because that's something that grabs you, that interests you, that fires your buttons and makes you gain understanding and influence and creativity to a certain extent. So that means to say that you have many different kinds of situations whereby you may pursue your destiny because you found your strict purpose, which is simply because you have found something that makes you tick, that makes you laugh, cry, makes you love, makes you feel environmentally worthy, not cursed, makes you feel something that is working for you. Or it may well be that you've tried for 20 years to make something work for you and it still hasn't. But you still feel in your heart of hearts that it's what you really wish to be, because for some reason, the energy is right for you. Doesn't mean to say that you give up because you haven't made it, or because the symbolism of what you determine to be success is then all important and not the doing of it. So it has to be that the doing of it is the first criteria that you reach in painting your destiny, in understanding what the circus is, that is, the different information that you have within you or that comes to you to help you to identify what your beingness is, and maddeningly, how you interpret that.
So really what we're looking for, we're always looking for.
Yes. Perfection or some kind of thing that makes you smile, laugh, cry.
The contact with our spirit self, who we really are.
Absolutely.
Who we really are.
Yes.
And the connection with that. Surely that's what we're all looking for.
Absolutely.
When we're trying to get high on things, and when we're trying to.
Truly, yes.
You know, so.
Trying to be happy, trying to be at one with. That is the essence of truth. Yes. Absolutely. So being at one with something, you generate love. You generate elliptical blossoming condition, which is attraction and is deliverance all in one go. It's like drawing something into you and also coveting it and saying, admiring in a sense for the beauty of its condition. So that may be, as I say, in the condition of numbers, whatever floats your boat, as they say. On your side of life. Or it is to do with image. Maybe it's to do with sound, color, light, beauty, words, language, introduction, people, animals, flowers, plants, insects. Whatever it is that glorifies you and makes you think how perfect that is, how beautiful.
So basically, it's a feeling, it's a magnetism to...
Yes.
To that feeling.
Yes.
You know, like I say, we're not talking about anything chemical or anything like that here.
No, indeed not.
Unfortunately, I think that can be a lot of the reasons why people do turn to drinking drugs, because it's the only way that they can have an escape from the harshness of life. But if you were following, if you want to recognize and follow your purpose, your destiny, then surely you have to follow the actual, whatever it is that makes you feel at one with yourself.
Yes, that is quite true.
Fuels you on with that.
Yes, and of course in many situations we observe that many human beings use religion as a kind of a placebo to that. So in a sense it means they don't have to think too hard or too long over the matters that are of the beauties of life, because religion oftentimes, various different ones, of course, depending upon what it is, will paint various different pictures and tableaus of behavior and how you are to be or respond to one another or to the world upon which you live, and gives efficacy for that for some people, not for everyone, but for some.
Yeah, it all depends again how you decipher and describe destiny to be. If you're talking final destiny,
that's right,
beyond this life, or the destiny that gets you through this life that leads you up to that point.
Yes, or even the destiny of tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you see?
I mean, that's the only thing we can do, is to recognize what actually sparks something within us.
Yes.
That's why we can't follow each other around like sheep, because we're all so different and we all have different abilities.
Yes, that's right. And so denying those abilities or the possibility or potency or chance to make those abilities work in some other way is, in a sense, what tends to be the problem with many different religious consequences and actions and activities, because they will generally be they will be generally against science or against certain facets of scientific understanding or theory or practice, purely and simply because it is really based upon some other premise.
It would be a lot easier to follow your destiny, to discover it and follow it, if it wasn't such a negative world that we lived in, unfortunately.
Yes, yes.
Because
yes,
when we're feeling positive and light and you know, our consciousness is clear and we're flowing with thoughts and ideas, that's an easy way to be able to follow your destiny, isn't it?
Yes, it is, you know, absolutely.
Attune to your higher consciousness and just go with it.
Yes.
But so you could say that trying to be as positive as you can is a good way of following your destiny, and to try and counteract the negative situations in your life as you can, the best you can, basically.
Yes, quite so. I completely agree, dear friend.
So we had a little trip round there, didn't we? Okay. Here's another one. Did you want to say something else?
No, that's quite all right.
Okay. All right. There's another question from Rebecca. When we practice divination, are we allowed or disallowed to see ahead?
Well, that's a matter of conjecture, because some people believe that their divination or that their abilities, whilst using some kind of divination, enables them to see further ahead. And for some people, it is actually possible for them to do that. However, it is not something for the faint of heart, and in actual fact, oftentimes what will happen is that the myriad of different effects or events or situations may not necessarily be that accurate, as in days, weeks, months, time, or whatever. So there are many different pathways to do with this, particularly, I understand, with different beings and their ability, usually to do with their spirit team, actually, to bring information about where they're going to be, shall we say, in 24 hours time or 48 hours time. It's not usually longer than that, further away than that. And it's a very difficult set of circumstances. Usually it's something, some kind of event which is built up by the team in the universe, in our side of life, who are working with the physical body to enable that to happen. But it's not something that is a blanket term over every single description of what entails within that life. So, for example, you would not necessarily predict everything. You would simply predict very specific situations. But they would not be, for example, to do with the entire path that leads up to that, you see?
Doesn't it make a difference where you live, the environment you
Absolutely.
Live in when you're doing it?
Yes, of course.
And that sort of thing, because,
yes.
like I said in the last conversation, we live in such a negative world that
yes.
obviously it's going to actually hamper the, you know, how good it is or how bad it is, really.
That's quite true, little bird. Yes, absolutely. And the environment and the situation of energy that is at work at the time will have, oftentimes rather, will have a sway within it.
Mm.
I say oftentimes because in actual fact it can be that certain people or the team working with them have an ability which is beyond all sense of reasoning, and actually beyond anything to do with the energy at work in the event. For example, I forget the gentleman's name at this present time, but the individual who was able to very, very correctly, not just to predict, but to actually draw the very destiny that was going to come up, that was going to where that person was going to be faced with upon the following day.
Oh, I know. Psychic, no. I can't think of his name either. Yes, he could sleep on it.
With no disrespect.
Yeah, he could sleep on it and
yes,
actually
right.
wake up with... Is that the one that you mean?
Yes, and it was not that he would wake up with it necessarily, but would actually draw it as a whole situation, and that he was then able, with the aid of his spirit team, to be able to accurately portray exactly where that person was going, even if it was against the plan that had been drawn up the previous day.
Isn't that precognition? Because
Well, to a certain extent, but it's also dipping into the timeline of actual events. And that is very specialized and very rare in actual fact to be that accurate.
Mm.
Usually the situation tends to be that people professing mediumistic skill may actually say that they are able to do this, but it's rather more like guesswork. And not that accurate, and certainly nothing like of the like or kind as our dear friend of whom we are talking of here, and who I believe ended up in, because he was just a janitor. He was not anyone that was professing great difference here.
I think he got taken to America to work for the... FBI or something.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes, by some... or intelligence service.
Yeah, exactly. His whole family got taken over
there to
help them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe
so. Probably just
there.
As well we don't mention his name then, because we don't really know.
But a very, very, very lovely gentleman indeed. Yes.
But how does precognition fit in with the plan, Rebecca says?
It's very interesting, really, because, as I say, it actually rarely is 100% accurate in that way.
Yeah.
So when it is accurate and it's something that can be duplicated again and again, it means to say that the spirit team in employed in that event are using very, very specific and very labor-intensive systems involved in being enabled to make that work.
Mm.
It's extremely difficult.
Mm. It's extremely difficult for the spirit side of life to actually find things like, you know, dead bodies or whatever, bones.
Yes, absolutely.
That sort of thing.
It's just not an easy task.
No.
Usually because of the just simply the mechanisms of it. Oftentimes, if it's to do with a dead body of someone, the spirit may well not want to actually find it. Or there may well be conditions whereby the ancestors of that spirit manifestation who had that physical life don't want that body to be found. Particularly by beings of mediumistic value or quality, maybe because they were against that when in their physical life, because they were of some religious order or some other such thing, you see? Mm.
Yes, but basically, if somebody's lost and they are alive, then obviously their spirit is there and you can find their spirit in the end.
Yes, that's right.
Through various ways in the spirit world.
Yes.
You know, from... not just looking, but obviously from ancestors, from their soul group and etc.
Yes.
But if they're already dead, then you can't actually, it's difficult to look for a vibration because it's not there. If their spirit is still with the body, which it won't be probably, if it's a while ago, whatever.
Yes, and so obviously it may be possible to locate, as I say, to locate the spirit of that deceased person, but that doesn't necessarily mean to say that they want to have their physical body found.
Absolutely not. We've come across that plenty of times, haven't we?
Yes, quite so. And in actual fact, oftentimes it will be because of the religious attitude of their ancestral family or even of themselves.
Mm. Yeah, we've found lots of people that are gone missing, presumed dead, well, you have, and they actually don't want to be found because maybe the circumstances as well
are not something that they want to relive. No. Oftentimes they want to just forget it.
Yeah, or they're not
And they've moved on of it.
Or they're not proud of something that they did.
Yes, absolutely so. And so don't want that to be raked up, you see.
Yeah, because obviously once somebody's gone, we tend to go into, you know, what a beautiful person they were and how they're missed and that sort of thing. And it's a bit difficult to then, isn't it, to actually say, well, actually, you know, they did something really silly. So
yes,
well, it's a shame. Actually, it is a shame.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So yes,
but
it's those kinds of pride situations and events which then may affect their mother, father, sister, brother, whatever, the rest of their living conscious family, that they do not want to be remembered in that way and would rather that they are just remembered in that the solidity of mind that they had at the time.
Yeah, you can understand that.
Absolutely. Understand so that. The point is that there are many people, many beings having their physical life who have such fear over different events and that their behavior in this sense conjures up various different kinds of fears of, well, what if they're going to be found out, you see?
Yeah.
For one situation or another that may be actually quite trivial, but to them is looming very large in their minds, in their consciousness. And therefore, obviously, oftentimes can dictate their behaviors.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, actually, that's we've come up to time already, Gregory. Didn't that go quick?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yes. I wasn't keeping an eye on anything, actually. No. I have to see. Well, then it is with love and light, blessings as ever, my dear friend, little bird. God bless upon your journey. And for all of you who may be listening at this present time or any time in the future, I wish you love and light and blessings and happy pathways. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show and thank you very much for your questions. And our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. If you want to find out more information about Earth or maybe book yourself an Akashic reading with Gregory, whatever, there's plenty of information on there. And thank you very much for listening. This is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.